caused Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people, not just the Levites, as instructed in the Torah, but all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. And he went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. Okay? So what do we see here? We see that Jeroboam is so concerned about people coming back to Jesus, coming back to Yahweh, okay, and instituting worship as instructed in the Torah, okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, okay, that he counterfeits this, he duplicates this, and changes who is allowed to be a priest, where the priests are to practice, when they're supposed to practice and offer the sacrifices. So it's a counterfeit, we might say a counterfeit sacrificial system, a counterfeit priesthood, a counterfeit worship center, a counterfeit church service, a counterfeit gospel. And we see oftentimes that this is the opposition to the true gospel. Opposition to true Christianity often comes from counterfeit Christianity. His opposition, Amaziah and Jeroboam, were not atheistic or non-religious. They were deeply spiritual people. They wanted to worship. They wanted to institute worship. They wanted priests to sacrifice. They wanted to make idols. And all these things are religious things, but they were not done according to the truth of God's word. They were not done in accordance with the Torah, which is what God had commanded all across the Pentateuch. And so often, as Christians, we can receive opposition from people who claim to be Christians, but do not have genuine faith according to the Bible. Okay? And so we see very clearly in this text that Amaziah is a false priest. Amaziah is not conducting and facilitating worship in the right place as God commanded, the right way at the right time as God commanded. And it became a sin, it says in our text, 1 Kings 12:30. It became a sin for the people. And so we know, and it should just rip our hearts as we think about people being led astray to false worship, to spiritual and religious things, but yet not accordance to the truth of God's word. And so maybe you've experienced that in your life, some type of opposition from someone at work, someone in your extended family, when you had conversations about tough things, where the truth of God's word is very clear to you as you read through the Bible. And, you know, maybe they say, well, you know, I just want to follow my own heart and believe this about this. Well, you know, I don't agree with that. Yeah, you know, I believe that God is love, but I don't believe that there's a place called hell. And I could give thousands of different examples. We don't have time to talk about it all. You know, we need to be worshiping God according to the truth of his word. And just because we want to, we can't pick and choose. We can't, choose. One name has been exalted above heaven and earth. That's the name of Jesus Christ. We can't choose another name. We can't choose another gospel. We have to stick to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Characteristic number two. Opposition often comes and is used through the institution of government. Okay? Opposition often comes from the institution of government. We see this in our text today. Verse 10, same verse. It says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel. So Amaziah, the priest, reaches out to Jeroboam, the king, the leader, the governmental leader at the time, to basically oust Amos, to stomp out Amos's message. And we can learn from that. We can learn that oftentimes, and what we see all across the history of the church, and we see in our culture today in some ways, and we see in many, many countries, including, as you all probably, many of you know better than I, including the country of China, and North Korea, and other countries where the government is very oppressive. Governmental leaders are very oppositional to Christianity, and that's something for us to just be aware of and pray for. We have many blessings and freedoms in this country, not without complete opposition, but comparatively to many countries, we do have great freedoms. But that is not always the case, and it was not the case in Amos's day. Jeroboam, his thirst for power and position was utilized by Amaziah to try to stomp out and provide resistance to Amos's message. Okay, and so I do just think this, I can say more about this. You know, we can preach a whole message on persecution, and that's really important and significant. But I think the big takeaway for us in this is we should recognize that many of our brothers and sisters in the faith are experiencing intense persecution at the hands of government officials all across the world, and it should move us to prayer, deep, deep prayer and support of those brothers and sisters, as we recognize that you know, they cannot freely and openly worship Jesus in the context that they live in. And that was very much in some ways the case in Amos' day, as Amaziah recruited Jeroboam to persecute Amos and his message. Characteristic number three that we see, opposition often wrongly portrays that if something's negative, it's not of God. If something's negative, it's not of God. And here's what I mean by this. Okay, I'm going to explain this. Let's take a look at verse 10 still. There's so much in verse 10, right? Just one verse, we can get so much out of it. But the last part of verse 10 says, "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. The land is not able to bear all his words." Okay? And so that's significant because oftentimes people say things like this. Well, you know, if it's hard, it can't be of God. Or, you know, man, you seems like you're going through such a challenging time right now. You know, God's not it. God's not in it. Or, you know, you seem to pray for this for a while, and it didn't quite come true, did it? So God must have forsaken you. God must not be in it. God must not be with you anymore. And people can kind of accuse Christians. People can kind of sow doubt and sow confusion into Christians' lives by trying to say that, well, if it's negative, if it's not something that's you know, positive and joyful and just exactly what you wanted, that, you know, it's not of God. And that's what Amaziah is trying to do. Amaziah is saying, hey, the land can't bear this message. This is a tough message that Amos has been preaching. We can't bear his words. So because we can't really bear his words, he's not a true prophet of God. He's not a true messenger. And actually it was just the opposite. Is that Amos, we know, was a true prophet of God. Amos was just faithfully preaching God's message. And sometimes we need to recognize that God's message can sometimes be quote-unquote negative. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. It can be a message of judgment. It can be a message of righteousness. It can be a message of repentance. It can be a message of hell. It can be a message that's tough to hear and can sting a little bit to the hearers. But just because it stings, just because it's full of righteousness and has teachings about hell and is difficult to bear doesn't necessarily mean it's not from God. And we should recognize that opposition often will utilize this tactic, this strategy, to try to get people to be dissuaded about the truth of Christianity or the truth of God. And so don't fall prey to this. Don't believe that maybe you've been hoping something and it hasn't come true, and you're starting to think, well, you know, this, you know, God's forsaken me, or, you know, God's just, no way this is from God. God is sovereign. And sometimes God allows that into our lives. Loss, grief, pain, to show us his mind, to show us his heart, to be tender and merciful in our time of need. And sometimes we need to recognize that, believe that. So don't believe the opposite, okay? Our fourth characteristic is that opposition in our ministry often comes from people and those who want to twist Scripture. Okay? If we read in our text today, in verse 11, it says, "For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land." Okay? So, Amaziah is still speaking to Jeroboam, and he's saying, hey, this is what Amos has been preaching. You, Jeroboam, shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from its land. All right? The problem with that is that that is not a perfectly accurate summary of what Amos has been preaching. And I want to show you in 1 Kings 14 what I'm talking about. It's a little lengthy, but we're going to read this, and we're going to see that nowhere in here does it specifically say that Jeroboam's going to die by the sword. Okay? It does say that Jeroboam, and we'll read this in here, is going to be ripped from his power, ripped from his throne, is going to die. But it doesn't say specifically by the sword. And I just think that's significant because some of the best lies contain portions of truth. And one of Satan's tactics is to take truths of Scripture and twist them, twist their context, twist their meanings. And we don't have to look very far. We can see this in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve, and he says, well, did God really say you shall not eat from that tree? And he adds to that, he says, shall not eat from the tree of life or even touch it. And so Satan's tactic is to use Scripture and twist it by adding to it or taking some away. And this is what he does. Satan is twisting Scripture to go beyond what Jeroboam has said. Now Amos did still say, and we'll see this in a minute, that Jeroboam is going to meet his demise, so to speak. But he adds to the prophetic message by saying that it's going to be done by the sword. And, you know, no doubt it's because Amaziah is trying to get Jeroboam riled up. Amaziah is trying to get Jeroboam to say, oh my gosh, my power, my position is threatened. I need to stamp out Amos immediately. And he adds to Scripture. So in 1 Kings 14, it says, 14:7 is where I'll begin. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring harm upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free in Israel, and I will burn up the house of Jeroboam, as a man burns up dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heaven shall eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise, therefore, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all Israel